the previous board was getting a lot of attention for its dysfunction. And, for example, the ousting of previous Superintendent Walter Milton, squabbling at meetings, the leak of student data. And the new board has had a pretty contentious first meeting. Do you think there will be much of a change with the board that's seated now?
I think so. I think, you know, we've all made a commitment to be transparent, to be cordial to each other in meetings and outside of meetings. And it's hard because you have seven people that have come together that don't necessarily know each other. So I think there's going to have to be a grace period where everybody kind of feels everyone out and gets to know each other. But I anticipate that, you know, there's going to be a lot of cooperation on the board. There are going to be times when we're not going to agree on issues, and that's fine. As long as we do it cordially and professionally, I don't think there's a problem with that.
And that transparency piece you touched on, obviously that was an issue with open meetings violations happening. What's your take on that? How do you change that and become more transparent as a school board?
Well, I think we just have to be truthful with the community. You know, I said this a lot during the campaign. This is a great school district. I really don't think we have anything to hide. You know, we have a lot of great things going on in this district. So, and I think we need to promote those. That's one of the things I want to do as a school board member, because I know the things going on in the schools. I've worked with all 36 schools in the district, and so I know the things that they're doing. And I think we should be doing more promoting of the good things going on in the district. You know, we've had a lot of negative press in the last year, and I think we need to counteract that with the good things that are going on. This has always been a very progressive district ever since I came here in 1977. It's just continued. We do things in Springfield that most school districts in the state are not doing. You know, when we're given a mandate to do, this district usually jumps on it immediately and plans, for the implementation. An example of that is the new evaluation system that's coming around in school year 2014-15. We didn't wait till crunch time to start working on it. We started this 3 years ago, working on this evaluation process, and that's just, I think, indicative of the things that the school district does.
Let's switch gears here and talk a little bit about the search for a new superintendent. What are your top priorities in that candidate?
Obviously, I think we need someone that understands the budgetary process, can look down the road for several years and plan. You know, I think in the past, we've kind of been going to year with the budget. I think we need to stop that. I think we need to have a plan in place, maybe 2 or 3 years down the road, so we don't have to keep going through this. Also, I'd like a superintendent that has big ideas. I think it's still important that we be proactive with big ideas, but also somebody with those big ideas knows how to deal with the details underneath those big ideas and plan for implementation. Also, I think we need a superintendent that can communicate not only with the personnel in the school district, but also the community. I think that's really important that the community understands what we're doing step by step. And also, I think we need somebody that has some kind of knowledge of an urban district. I think that's very important. This is a very diverse population here. I think it's important we get someone here that understands diverse populations.
And you had wanted a search for a new superintendent run by the district, but you've changed your mind. Explain why.
I've come 180 on this because I thought this is something that we can do. But once that we started interviewing search firms, it became pretty clear to me this is a daunting task. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of planning. There's a lot of legwork to be done. And I'm not sure that we have the personnel to do that.
And so the board recently came to a consensus to use a search firm that will do a national search. Can you talk a little bit about the cost factor, if that's something that you guys have weighed heavily or you see, you know, really making a dent in the budget?
The bids we've gotten so far are ranging anywhere from about $17,000 to about $23,000 or $24,000. I know we're in a budget crisis here. We had one community member at one of the forums, open forums we had, said, think about it, even if it costs you $30,000, think about the investment down the road. You know, if you're wanting a superintendent to stay here 6, 7, 8 years, it's worth that investment. And that kind of struck a chord with all of us because, yes, you know, the initial outlay may be more than we have right now, but I think the end result will bear that out.
I'm Rachel Otwell. You're listening to WUIS, and we're joined by Mike Zimmers, a member of the Springfield School Board. Mike, I want to ask about the Capital College Preparatory Academy. It's a school that will close and won't reopen in the coming school year. Many argue that middle school is putting kids on the path to higher ed. many of whom from lower economic backgrounds, who some say need the programming available at that school to be put on that path to higher education. Many candidates for school board said they'd fight to keep it open, but when the question was put to the new school board members whether or not to keep it open in some capacity for the coming school year, the majority voted no. What's your take on that?
When it first came about, I was principal at Jefferson. I had just left that position, and one of the things I said is that it might be a good idea to put that program, school within a school, at Jefferson, because all the staff there were gender trained, because we were the first program to do gender education in Springfield.
Meaning separating boys and girls.
Separating boys and girls. The whole school was not gender, but about half the school were in gender classes. And so we already had that set up. We already had a uniform style of dress there. We had two behavior programs that were relatively new that we'd started a couple years prior to that. The district chose not to do that, which is fine. It's their prerogative. But the bottom line is, and I've explained this to parents from CCPA several times, the money was never there for the program. It was an add-on, because when it was proposed to the board, it was proposed that it would be funded by grants and by corporate sponsorship. Of course, that never happened. And each year that CCPA has been in existence, the program has had to be minimized. So the money was never there. I like the concept. I've always liked it. We don't have the money for it right now. I think parents and students in the CCPA community were wanting us to look at a school within a school for this coming school year. And I don't disagree with that. I would like to entertain that motion sometime in the next school year, probably early school year. The problem we're having right now is where to put it in a middle school. Three of the five middle schools have brand new principals. And so I don't think it would be fair to us to ask a new principal to take this on immediately, because it's going to take some planning. I would like to see it come back as a school within a school in one of our middle schools.
Over half the students in District 186 come from low-income households. As state appropriations shrink and positions are cut, that could mean larger class sizes and, as we've seen, school closures. How do you balance a shrinking budget with making sure kids graduate with a high school diploma, regardless of their background?
You know, actually, and I've said this publicly before, we really do a good job in this district. We really do. You know, there are people who say this is a failing school district. That is far from the truth. I think people need to understand that, and I've said this in public forums. Springfield is one of 55 schools in what's called the Large Unit District Association in the state. Since No Child Left Behind has been instituted, Springfield Public Schools is only one of three school districts out of those 55 that have never had a decrease in test scores. We've had an increase every year, and I think people need to understand that. Our kids are working hard, our teachers are working hard, administrators, for achievement. I think our students are achieving. I would like to see the graduation rate higher, you know, and we can work on that. But I think this is really a high-achieving school district. People stop and take a look at it. We have a lot of innovative programs going on here, and it's a good place for kids and people to work.
But as we know, all school districts are facing the economic downfall, and that means less appropriations. So I'm just wondering, obviously, there are going to be painful budget cuts ahead. What areas do you see cutting first?
Well, I think we need to take a look. I really don't want to affect direct instruction in classrooms. And I've even talked to Mr. Lemming, the interim superintendent, about this. I think we need to do a review or an audit, because this keeps coming up about administrative positions. And I think we as a board need to see what administrators are out there, what are they doing, what are their salaries, you know, so we can make a little better judgment on, do we need to make administrative cuts? If we are over administratively, then we need to take a look at that. I would also like to do an audit of certified teaching staff that are not directly teaching in a classroom, so we can see who are those people out there, what are they doing, similarly to what we're doing with what I'm asking for administration. And I don't think we can make informed decisions about personnel until we know who we have out there and what they're doing.
Any chance that we'll be looking at alternative revenue sources? It's been said that this is a community that is not at all interested in paying more in their property taxes, but is that something that's going to have to be considered?
Well, I think we're going to have to take a look at that, but you know, I think the community is not going to be willing to float any referendums until they feel like we're getting our budget in line and we know what we're doing. And I get that. I understand that. But I think there are other things we can do and work as a community to think of alternative ways that we may be able to raise revenue. without raising property taxes necessarily. This is a community issue. You know, cities are only as good as their public school system, and as people understand that, we have to work together for the common good. And I think if we can do that, and if we can get the community back in the fold here and trusting in the school district, I think we can get those things accomplished.
And if you had to pick maybe your top three priorities during your time on the board, what would those be?
Obviously the budget, you know, which we've talked about. I think we need to set a goal for minority hiring, you know, establish, you know, as a board, a percentage that we would like to see in the next 2, 3, 4 years, and assist in that effort. We need to take a look at special ed. I'm really concerned about the number of special ed students that are not graduating in this district. I think we need to take a look at why. What's the reason for that? I'm a former special ed teacher, so this is very close and dear to my heart. And again, I'm not faulting anybody in the system, but we need to figure out what we need to do for special ed students to make them successful.